fucking happy hour with Jackie. I'm going to say Cashin.
I'm going to go Cashin.
Who's going to be deported soon.
Oh, yeah.
So we're glad to get her in under the wire here. Because it's some kind of fern name. Right. Hi, Jackie.
Hello and welcome to me.
I was just kidding. We're not live. This is going to be.
That's hilarious. Okay.
But thank you for tweeting.
I was like, I was totally going to tweet it.
Nobody does anything without tweeting it in this world, right?
Right. Well, I thought
it doesn't happen unless you tweeted it.
It didn't exist.
Right.
It didn't exist unless it was tweeted.
Right.
I have to tell you, the first, I did an XM Sirius thing the other day.
Yes.
Blessedly followed by another XM Sirius thing hosted by Kelly Carlin. But the
who
first
I love,
thing.
Who I love.
Right.
Who we've had on this podcast.
The first one I did was with Jay Thomas.
Yes. Who I love. Who I've not had in this podcast. Let's make that happen.
Noted.
He played a right-wing blowhard on Murphy Brown and on Cheers.
Yes.
Turns out it was typecasting, you guys. Because the first thing he said to me was, so you're one of these fucking feminists? That's
very nice.
Out
very
the
nice.
Gate,
very
Jay
warm.
Thomas.
Very welcoming.
I've never met the man. And I said, yes, and a cunt. Did you want to have a shock jock off? And that's what we did. We had a shock jock off. And at the end of it, he said, you're funny. You should come back. And I was like, why do I feel like I have won and yet not won?
Right.
It's one of those situations.
Are there any winners in that situation?
I don't know if he won or I won.
Jackie Cation is a fucking shit, man. Look at this. I have I can get one of her. I am not the hero of this story, which was her new album. Oh, pardon me. You don't need to hear about that.
Wow, that's
which
a dog.
Was released on March 3rd. You can get a free download by going to dropcards.com/JackieCationHero.
Right. That's not free. I don't know if that's free. You got to put in a thing. I gave you those cards. Here's what happened. I'm 100. And
right.
So, I couldn't get hard copies.
You're older than me, sister.
I couldn't get CDs fast enough to go on the road with them, but they could get me those cards fast enough. And so I was selling the cards. And the
Grandma,
youth,
it's okay. The kids understand.
Grandma Cation has to tell you that the kids know how to use the cards. So you buy the card. Each card is one. It's one download. And then you yuck it up. You yuck it up because it's comedy.
Right. Yes. Because I think I heard you say on YouTube today that you began your comedy career when you were burned by a witch right afterwards.
And, I opened for Hester Prynne.
Okay.
It was the Hester Prynne joke.
That's a big name.
It's a good, it was a big, she had a tight five in the Iroquois. You guys,
right.
Or the Iroquois.
Before the stockade and then the
good Scarlet steak. Letter reference.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. She's got some book learning.
It's, we both went to junior high. We know
we
things.
We were
both bored.
Shit.
Did you have that thought where when I read it, I was like, oh my God, get out of that town.
I know.
And then I was like, oh right, it's 1630.
Right.
You could just go die of exposure, and that was it.
Right.
There was nowhere to go, right?
Die of exposure, burn at the stake. At least it's warmer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Burning at the stake, yeah. I love the other thing I saw today on YouTube. You were like, you know who thinks I'm gay? Everyone. And you're not gay. And you know who thinks I'm gay? No one. And I'm gay.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, you are the face of beautiful gayness, and I'm the face of I gave it a shot, and it didn't take. You know when you're 12.
Tried it in college like everybody?
Well,
gave it a go round?
It was post college because here's what happened. Everyone I know who is my age who's gay, at some point some banana head said to him, you are not gay. You should go out and try and not to be gay.
Right. You haven't met the right guy.
Right. And so all of my friends got super drunk, went out, gave it a shot, right? And then came home and was like, yeah, no, that was not indeed what I was looking for.
No.
So when I was in my 20s, gentlemen, you were not interested in this.
Right.
Or I could not tell.
Right.
One of my banana head friends said, oh, you're probably gay. And so I went out, found a lady.
Right.
Did it.
Yeah.
Woke up the next morning and I was like, nope, I am going to need the pointy bit. Because that's a key.
We can purchase those.
Right, those are available separately.
I'll tell you some stuff at the after party. Anyway, Jackie. Right, well, you know.
I got a little
drunk
blue,
and trying
guys.
It is not generally conducive to any sort of.
No.
I'm not trying to re-recruit you. I'm just saying I'm sure you're very happily married to your husband. I'm just.
Right. He's bisexual.
Oh, all right.
But somebody's like, he's bisexual. I'm like, sure, but he's monogamous right now.
Right.
So you're going to have to wait till I die or we part ways if you're interested in whatever's happening there.
How long have you been married?
10 years.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Nicely done, ma'am.
Yeah.
And you met him online, I understand.
Online, he has two mommies. He was raised by lesbians.
Oh, wow. This is a lot of, there's a lot there's of this going on up in here. this.
Where's the one person show, you guys?
Right.
Anyway, but,
So he had two mommies. He's bisexual. Okay.
Well, this is,
everyone thinks you're gay or not. Okay.
It's his journey and who cares? Right. Sure. I mean, it's not for me to, but his moms have been together for like,
just the beginning of the story. Okay.
35 years have been together and, his moms. And so that's kind of why. Was one of the reasons I married him is because his parents are actually good at relationships.
Right.
And they stick it out with folk. And I was like, oh, because I had never had a boyfriend.
Because gay people don't have kids by accident. So, yeah.
Well, they had both of his moms had been married and had kids.
Okay.
And then when he was like 11 or 12, they met, fell in love, got divorced. I think Fran had been divorced earlier.
Right.
But got together and then have been together ever since.
Mm-hmm. When you say get together, I think you meant to do this.
Right.
You didn't mean... Okay.
Right. Or,
well, you know what? I have a lot of stuff to tell you later. So, okay. Wow. Fascinating. Where did he grow up?
North of the Bay Area and a little. A little.
There's the joke in there. That's the old joke. Because we're both old enough to know he was born where he was reared in San Francisco. Okay. We both know that. That's not important now.
Do you know where that dam that almost broke, Oroville?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where he grew up.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Right. So.
Okay.
Let's, there used to be a one-nighter up there.
A lot of fingers in the dike jokes about his mom's there.
Why wouldn't there be?
Right.
But I went up there.
A lot of beaver jokes about the dam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's beavers and there's dikes.
Well.
Because it's a dam. You're available for corporates, right? What's happening?
What's happening, everybody? What's happening? I can play, up there in that area.
I have half a cold, so I'm a little bit satellite delay over here.
Yeah,
plus,
I see
I'm
that.
Eating this entire plate of whatever's
that's
happening.
All right. I gave you a little snacky plate, mm-hmm. and you are precious. Mm-hmm. Okay, so. All right, so, but you are from Wisconsin. Is that correct?
Which is on fire politically.
Right.
Holy crap.
Holy fuck, man. Yeah, I'm starting sexy liberal again in Madison. That's like the hotbed, right? The hotbed, that's where you went to college. It's the hotbed of
it's the best bet.
Unions.
It's your best bet.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin, I recommend that. I don't expect some suburb of Superior, Wisconsin, would be your best bet.
No.
To start the sexy liberal tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is, I love Madison. I was just there the week, week of January, I think.
It's fantastic.
It's a great club in town. And where
the Barrymore.
The Barrymore. Oh,
yes.
Nice. Right on State
fantastic.
Street.
Fantastic.
Right?
What's that?
On State Street?
Yeah, yes.
We'll look into it.
Let me Google Map. Hang on. but I mean, that's a great school, university. That's where you started comedy.
Yep, and that's where I went to college. Got a degree in political science because at year 3.5, I believe, they said, you have to pick a major.
Pick something.
And I said, what's it look like? And they said, you have one more credit towards a degree in poli sci than you do in history. And I said, well, then I am a poli sci major, my
friends. Here I am.
And, but I hadn't studied any domestic poli sci. I had studied entirely Southeast Asian.
Oh, okay.
So I used to know the difference between Suharto and Sukarno, you guys. Hold your applause.
I have no fucking clue what that is. But you know what? I am not going to hold my applause.
That's why she has the degree.
I was hoping you had an applause button.
You are of Armenian descent.
I am half Irish and half Armenian, which means I was genetically modified to pick up a rock on someone else's property. But yes, I am indeed.
Has that come in handy in any way?
Well, for others.
If you were in the Flintstones, that would work in Fred Flintstones Quarry.
Exactly. If I needed to clear farmland, I am available.
Okay.
I come from fine peasant stock on all sides.
From hardy peasant stock?
Yes. My mother had,
you know,
kids.
Make a good like stew or brisket, I'm guessing.
Oh, I really do. I just made a Guinness stew last night.
Oh, sounds amazing.
It's for St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. Bring that shit over here.
It's, I should have brought that shit over here because it's really good. It's just you make a big pot of stew and today I'm going to put it into
I was just kidding.
Oh my God. You know, I went to Iraq to perform for the troops.
Yes.
And everybody here was like, oh my God, you're going to be surrounded by hot 19-year-old guys. And all I could think was, have you ever been surrounded by 19-year-old guys? It's like being buried underneath a litter of golden retriever puppies. It's adorable, but exhausting. Because this is not a MILF. This is not a cougar.
Right.
This is lady who makes a good pot roast.
Right.
And,
Pick. Right. Cougar, good pot roast.
If you miss.
I'm guessing you're in fucking Iraq.
pot roast.
Pot roast man.
Right. If they miss their mom, I told them, you can hug me. And, cause, you know, I am also age appropriate for that. But the crazy thing is, so today I'm going to take that real nice Guinness stew, going to put it in smaller pots and then put a puff pastry on top and make it into a thing.
Look at her acting like she ever eats food. It's right. She's so cute.
She eats a third of the food and then goes and works out. That's what both of you do. You guys, all your calories are clearly going into a Chardonnay.
Yeah. Pretty much. Right. It's the main source of my calories a day.
Guilty.
And I don't begrudge you as I eat another piece of cheese.
Okay. Listen, that's why God made cheese for happy hour.
It's true. It's right here.
Okay.
It is a happy hour.
You've been touring for 25 years, so you are 147 like me?
Yes. I am both 147 and exhausted. I love touring. I love doing the stand-up comedy. I just came off a nerd boat, you guys. I did my first ever cruise, the only cruise that I will ever do, quite honestly, because it's called the Joco Nerd Cruise. And it's a guy named Jonathan Colton, who is a musician. Think If They Might Be Giants and Weird Al Yankovic were one guy.
Oh, and one guy. Okay.
Yeah, so not parody, just musical kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then, and so it was 7 days, and we went toward Mexico. I got off the boat once.
Oh, okay.
Because there was two floors of board games that you could play.
Well, that's really exciting.
It was really
at the age of 147. That is,
I was born 147, so I've been. And I'm married to a game designer, so he spent.
Okay, you got to tell me about that because first of all, you do a podcast called
The Dork Forest,
right? And you're married to a game. That literally is his job. He's an adult, and his job is making video games,
right? And before everyone emails me, Jackie@JackieKation.com. God of War 2 and 3. Those are the two that you know that he worked on. Other than that,
that means so
little
to me, but I'm going to nod.
But there's 19 people out there going, oh, that's cool.
Oh, right. Fantastic.
He worked at PlayStation for a long time. Then he worked at THQ making Game Boy games and Wii games.
Wow.
And then now he's freelance and he worked on this driving game for Cars 2 for Disney.
Okay.
And then a couple of years ago, he came, and he still does video games, but all the video game designing now is for phones and Facebook.
Right.
So, okay. And he still does that.
Right.
But he came to, like 3 years ago, he comes, he's like, hey, I don't want to make video games anymore. I want to make board games. And we stared at each other. And he goes, yes, the lucrative world of board games. And then I said,
we're going to be rich, honey.
I do this for a living. Do whatever the hell you want to do. I don't care.
So you met him on the internet, and he's like, I'm an adult that makes
And likes games. To live action role play. He likes to LARP. He likes to D&D. Wow. He got me playing D&D. I'm playing Dungeons and Dragons. I'm a god in this game that we've been playing for like 17 years. I don't know how long we've been playing it, but I think at least 10.
Okay.
And I'm a 17th level rogue, you guys, with Star and Shadow Jump. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So tell us more about the Dork Forest.
The Dork Forest.
The show is a safe space for dork on dork dialogue.
Uh-huh.
I love that.
Wow.
Yep.
Can I just say, I haven't been a fan of internet dating. You seem perfectly matched with whatever that magical man is that you're.
Yeah, it is a beautiful thing what's happened there. As my sister said, if you're going to wait 17 years to start dating, good work.
This was nicely done. This was nicely done.
Right.
Okay, so the Dork Forest is a.
I'm gonna show you this thing.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
It's just dork. You've had some of my friends on, Aisha Tyler, Jen Kirkman.
Yep.
What kind of dork talk did you have with them?
Well, Aisha Tyler is a huge MM. Like,
I know
massive multiplayer video game player.
Yeah, because if you're going to look like a supermodel, you got to throw them off by being a fucking
look over there,
fucking dork gamer.
Yeah, yeah, and then Jen Kirkman, it was Ghosts.
Oh,
Ghosts. Okay. Mm-hmm. Her and Karen Rontowski dorked out about Ghosts. I had Karen Rontowski again dorking out about tarot cards. But the six that I recorded on this nerd boat was photography. Mm-hmm. Oh, brain. Come on, you can do it, brain.
Come on, brain. How old are you currently?
How old is my brain? It's like this week it's a Harry Potter dork.
Okay.
And then photography's coming up, escape rooms.
You had a guy with 96 cats.
Yeah, that, it turns out, is not a dorkdom, I found out later.
Oh, no, that's
hoarding.
A hoarder.
That's hoarding of cats.
Grab more pussy than Donald Trump.
And okay. I don't approve. I actually regret airing that one.
Upon further research, you were like, that's not really dorky. That's...
No,
yeah.
But Maria Bamford has done several episodes.
I heard you're good friends with her.
Right. Well,
you are equally as weird, which is a high compliment because I love her as well.
She's a delight and the greatest. And, but she, my favorite, the last one she did, it's a Bandcamp one. It costs $2. You guys can do it. Anyway, the dorkforest.bandcamp. But, like there's 600 episodes that are free and I get like these emails. Well, why is that one $2? I'm like, I don't know, because I've been doing it 11 years. You don't have $2.
$2.
Stupid.
Really?
You're killing me. I cannot be supportive. So, but it was about money. She's a money dork. Loves the spreadsheet. And so it was at live in Montreal.
Yeah.
And she pulled out her contract for doing Montreal started reading it aloud. And her agent, who I can see in the back of the room, said something. He's like, no. No, wait. Wait a minute. I have other clients. What's happening? And since I'm one of his other clients, I was like, let me hear it.
Whatever. I want to hear what's up. Why does she get those M&Ms?
No. I'm pretty sure I know why she gets those M&Ms. She's ahead of me in the
My lab. Friends, Robin Trish, who you'll meet later, Robin Trish, my best friends at the after party, they live, she lives in their neighborhood. And so they know her. But Trish and I communicate exclusively in Maria Bamford speak from the Love Songs on the Coast bit. It's some combination of that and like that dog that the guy is taunting with the food. He's like, huh? And then remember the, you know, hi, welcome to Love Songs on the Coast. What do you want to say? Oh, you and Matt broke up. What do you want to say? Oh, no. That's how we talk. Like, we don't know it's each other unless we start to call like that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you broke up. That's tough. That's hard. Okay. Here's Penny Lover.
My husband and I will often talk as Maria's mom. It's like, I know you don't want to admit it, but there's oils, honey. There's oils. And my husband will say whenever he picks up he's like, I just read an article. It's a very important. Articles are very powerful now. And so these are bits that never made the albums, you guys. I hung out a lot with Maria Bamford.
Listen. So, born in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin, raised by your father, Elliot, and your stepmother, Nancy. Was that like the stepmom movie, or did you like her?
She actually raised us. My father's a lot like radiation. We didn't see him a lot, but he affected our lives. He remarried almost immediately after my mother died.
Your mom died when you were how old?
7. I didn't kill her. It's not.
I was not implying that you did, Jackie.
Right.
I had some vague thoughts, but okay.
It's just one passing thought. You know the Irish goodbye, right? Is when your mom kills herself in a drunk driving accident when you're 7. You guys familiar with the Irish goodbye? No, too soon. I'll be over here.
I can't tell you how. Very sorry about your father.
I can't tell you how I love telling that joke and how
just to look at people going.
There's a lot. There's only Irish people laugh at that joke. Quite honestly,
it's not too soon for us. I mean, if it's too soon for you, we apologize. We apologize to you for your inappropriate joke on our podcast.
It's she's a good. She was a good egg. She did her best. I don't have any memories of her because she was super hammered. But Nancy Cation. My favorite story about Nancy Cation is that my parents had been separated, right? My dad and my mom had been separated. So my dad had been living with who was to be my stepmother.
Right.
And he had never told her he had 6 kids.
Oh, dear.
And then when he told her, she was like, what? And he said, my father's the kind of guy who's like, I told you that.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
You'd remember that.
You'd remember if I told you I had 6 kids.
So your dad was like Sean Spicer.
What?
He's
not a creep. I had to pull 12 minutes off of that album, by the way, because 2 people came up to me, and that's too many, to say, so your dad's kind of like Trump, because my dad's a salesman, And I said, did you want to get punched in the throat? I love my father, and none of my brothers are creeps, and I could tell that Ixnay and Uday are total creeps. And and that baby...
It's Uday and Kuse.
Uday. Okay.
Ixnay is the other one. That's the illegitimate one after Tiffany.
Who puts pomade in a 10-year-old boy's hair?
I don't know. Who does?
Well, actually,
who uses products? Who uses... Who has fucking Gordon Gekko hair on Uday and Kuse when you're...
When you're
in
10.
2017.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my dad actually had product in his hair, but he was the child of immigrants.
Well,
he was the child of Armenian immigrants, and they were like, we're going to.
American men are not fags. They need pomade.
1946. Okay.
So wait.
Then my dad remarried. Uh-huh. And then my stepmother married.
All right,
married
but your dad was living with your stepmom while. Your mom was still alive.
Yeah, they were separated.
Oh, separated. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't bigamy. So much.
And then your mom died in a drunk.
Yes. She flipped off an overpass. Sounds a little dragnet, but then it went into something wacky. There was no mystery. She was on a Harley Davidson, so we're proud. I mean, could you imagine the neighbors if it had been a Kawasaki? Those of you who follow motorcycle production in Milwaukee.
Yes. Jackie, once again, very sorry for your loss.
I'm sorry.
No.
So your stepmom, Nancy, suddenly had six kids that she did not know were involved. So you're
right. My oldest brother was 17. She was 26.
Oh, okay.
And I was seven.
Okay, so you you had four older brothers, one older sister. Okay, so, and how was that when Nancy, he was like, surprise!
Uh-huh. It was a lot like the Austrian army. There were charts and graphs and French corners on the beds, and she was amazing. My grandmother, my father's mother, always said that she saved our lives. Very possible, very possible. There was chaos previously, right?
Right.
And then she came into our lives, and she was like, and she used to say, I never wanted kids, you know. She used to tell us that.
So how? Imagine what an amazing surprise it is that I have six.
Right.
She eventually reconciled.
That's, you know, I got to give up some props for your, you know.
Oh, enormously.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know. Her stepmom.
Yeah. Amazing.
I would have been like, oh, check taxi. Or at this point, Uber. Wow. Okay.
I cannot believe that she married him. And then she cooked for us and set us up with a cleaning schedule. And there was a chore graph. And, you know, you had to
do
homework.
Okay, now this is turning into an Oliver Twist. This is turning into,
Right, because she was
a Dickens novel now.
I never wanted kids, but we're doing this now.
It's going to be horrible and joyless.
And at the end of it, we will
work,
love each other.
But we are going to.
And no one will know why. And so it came to pass, Stephanie. So it came to
and
pass.
And so it happened.
All right.
Okay. How did all that work out?
Exactly. It all worked out. What I think is hilarious is that all of our extended family to this day, all the older folks, are always like, every single one of them has said to me and my siblings at one point, it's amazing how good you kids turned out. How obnoxious is that? You're just like,
it's amazing they haven't found anyone in your crawl space.
And then you look at their kids and you're like, yeah, your kids had two parents and lived the whole thing and they're kind of fuck-ups.
What the fuck, man?
What happened there? And
What the fuck is the one with the squiggy eye who looks like he's had a bunch of girlfriends disappear? What's happening? Oh, you're petting. Okay.
I was thinking about lowering this chair, but the dog is like...
So wait, we have to get to that. You got stage time at your first club operated by Bill Kinison, Sam Kinison's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And you began your comedy career by heckling Sam Kinison, which is really the worst decision anyone could ever make. You were drunk. You were not a comedian.
Mm-hmm. I was 19.
I knew Sam. Sam was on my radio shows and I was like, but anyway, so he mopped the floor with you because you were drunk. And
obnoxious. But the thing is, you know how there's nothing worse
and
than a woman.
And he's the perfect
heckler?
Comedian to heckle.
Well, except he couldn't shut me up. Because, you know, like, there's nobody, even if you're a woman comic, there's nothing worse than a woman heckler.
Right.
Because for some reason, the audience is still on their side. And so they were still on my side. And I'm like, no, you really, I mean, I look back on it. It's whenever I get heckled or whenever anybody uses their cell phone, I'm like, well, there's an indictment against your own terrible cell phone use and the heckling you did when you first started. And the club owner, the club manager came over, when I wouldn't shut up and just said, you have to shut up. Open mic is on Sundays. Shut up. And I came back 3 weeks later.
Open mic. All right.
Open mic. And it was like heroin. And I was in. I was in. Got a 1.8 that semester.
I hate to give you a flashback, but.
I live in hell! Oh! Get your shit. It's a desert. What's it going to be in 400
years? It's a
desert.
Back up. We'll make one trip. Yeah. No, I've told the story in happy hour before, but when I was Sister Sleaze on the Brother Wee's Morning Circus, he came on late in the morning smelling of pussy and booze.
Good combo.
Congratulations.
And, yeah, but I was saying, like, he was so, whatever we are, women, feminists, like, we should have hated his act, but you couldn't help but laugh at it. Right. It was just and he did.
If
I was saying like
correctly.
He would hit like 20 minutes off the top of the show about I just fucked Sister Sleaze before the show. She was like, oh, and like I thought like it was so horrible and yet like so generous because you thought he was making me like a superstar with this audience. Like he was and he knew what he was doing. It was
right. Well, that's right. I mean, whenever you see like there's people that can do it right. You know?
Right.
It's like when you see Sarah Silverman or Zach Galifianakis do ironic racism, they're good at it. Don't just jump right in because you think you can do it. The same with like Doug Stanhope and Greg Fitzsimmons.
Yeah.
On paper, we should be picketing those guys.
Right.
But when they talk out loud, you can tell that from their heart, they're not.
Well, that's
no
why liberals are much better at comedy than conservatives. Conservatives, they do it. They always punch down.
Right.
There is actually the racist and the sexist and whatever. And you're like, oh, that's not funny because you're just being a bully.
And
like
it's
Trump.
Done with malice. Malice. That's the word I wanted. Malice. It's also done with malice. I don't know what that is. But it's, yeah, but if it isn't done, and I never felt like it was done with malice, even
with Kinison.
With
yeah.
Kinison.
Yeah.
I felt like he was like, I'm a mess.
Right.
I want to hang out with other people that are messes.
Right.
I wonder what's going to happen. And then it was funny.
But, you know, at some point you can go, oh, he's awful. But then you'd be like, then you'd have that breakup where you're like, I hope she slides under a gas truck and tastes her own blood. Like,
yay.
And you're like, yay, not really, Sam. That's awful. All right. Wait, you moved to Minneapolis after?
Right. Everyone I started doing stand up with went to Chicago, and I decided to move to Minneapolis.
Good job.
Because they all went to Chicago. And I was
yeah.
like, see ya.
Just be contrary.
Yeah. I just don't want to. Let's start over.
Yeah.
Let's reinvent the wheel. That was in 90.
And so, wait, then you moved to LA. You,
right.
You live currently in Van Nuys.
Hold your applause again. Again. I went from
South
Milwaukee.
I'm not going to hold my applause.
Exactly.
And, so, wait, and no kids by design. I take it.
Well, no. We tried. It didn't. I mean, I'm.
Didn't take.
I have like four eggs left, so they're marinating.
How old are you?
I am 51.
Oh.
And we have been
I'm 55. Married. You're younger than I am, you
right.
little baby.
But every month I don't. Every month I have my period.
Yes.
Andy says.
You couldn't
well,
remember what it was. You're like my.
My period.
Right,
and,
period.
Andy's like, well, I guess we dodged another bullet. And so, because we haven't used any sort of contraceptive. I had a miscarriage a long time ago. So fuck you, people who think that I'm somehow
right.
anti-baby.
Right.
I would have kept it.
Right.
Probably. Right. Unless it had an extra elbow. I don't know. There's like, I have like four eggs left. He's been sitting on his
cell
phone.
So that was the only thing if it had an extra elbow.
That was it.
Wrong.
It was
yeah.
the elbow
yeah.
is the extra, is the line.
Yeah. Because right. who wants that? That's weird.
Right. He's been yeah. sitting on his cell phone for a dozen years.
So wait, you tried, but you don't want to adopt. You don't
it didn't
want
to take. No, no, I'm good. I have a dozen nieces and nephews. I have four great nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
The jackass gene runs true. There's no need. But I always did kind of want one of Andy. Like, you know, like I never wanted kids until I looked at him and I was like, oh,
wait,
that,
who's Andy? Your husband?
Andy's my
oh,
husband.
I'm sorry.
I was like,
yes.
that needs to be perpetuated.
Right.
I would like a tiny one of that. So I thought of that and then it didn't happen. And we're like, well, we made peace with it. We're not what Jeff Goldblum was thinking.
Right.
When he said life finds a way.
Right. It's not Jurassic Park over there in Van Nuys?
Into this interview.
No Jurassic Park over there?
It is not. Thank you for...
I always think of the valley as Jurassic Park. So wait.
It's because you live by this beautiful greenway.
Yes. Well, so, all right. So what's happening menstrually? I feel close enough to you to ask.
Well,
Is it done?
No. No.
All right. Well, because I was done a lot longer ago than you.
I wanted to be done.
I was like, listen, this has been a goddamn, there's tumbleweeds, there's fucking, Jack Palance is down there sometimes. There's barroom doors. Some shit's been happening for a long time down there. I'm 55 and it's been gone for, I don't know.
Yeah. A lot of my friends and my sister, they're like, Tick, it is over. And I'm like, I don't understand why it continues. And, I'm supposed to go
because
through the
life
Terrigen
will find
mists.
A way.
Life will life find a way.
Life always finds a way.
Exactly.
Except it might look, your kid might look like the fly.
I might.
Oh, that's a different Jeff Goldblum movie. Yeah. I apologize.
The Big Chill. I have a baby who was a journalist for E.T. Remember The Big Chill?
Yes, yeah. Of course I do. Of course I do. I'm over than you are. 1,000. I'm 1,000.
Right.
All right. So, what was your childhood?
I was alone.
Tell us.
I had a lot of siblings. A lot of siblings and no friends. But then I learned about friendship.
Let me change this. Hang on.
Laurel and Hardy were my best friends, you guys. Right. That was, yeah, I have, on my new album, I have this great joke about my imaginary friend and how I learned how to have friendship. I had an imaginary friend for too long, you guys. Here's how you know, is when he becomes your imaginary lover.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
I was 14. He was 18. It was about to become statutory. Let's move on, folks. Let's move on. We both knew it was not going to work out. We had a last lovely weekend in the Alps. And then
that was it?
That was it.
For that fantasy?
Yes. And then my sister made me join the basketball team because she is the boss of me.
Right.
And not to play basketball, but to get friends. And I was doing laps like you do when you go out for a basketball team.
Right.
And I was reading a book like I did when I did anything when I was 14, reading and running. And the coach comes over and she's like, no reading and running. Running and reading is dumb. What are you doing? Pick someone to run with. And I said, boo-hoo, no one wants to run with me. I don't have any friends. And she said, you don't have any friends? And I said, no. And she blew my mind. She goes, are you friendly? No. No, I am not. Did you miss the book? It was nonfiction.
Yeah.
It was called The Bravest Teenage Yanks.
Yeah.
It was about the Civil War. Anyway.
Anyway, my point is.
My point is she drew a line graph in the dirt of the track explaining friendship to me.
Oh.
And to this day,
that's
why I have friends. She was like, here we are at the beginning of the line graph. Start talking to people.
Right.
Eye contact would be great, but any kind of mumbling will get you acquaintances.
Right.
After a certain amount of time, you'll be in the middle of the line graph.
Right.
Some of those people will have made it here. Those will be your actual friends.
Right.
You'll support them. They'll support you. Very beautiful. Here at the end of the line graph, this isn't friendship. You're going through their garbage. You're reading their text messages. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. To this day, that is why I have friends. It did not give me boyfriends, but it got me friends. It got me male friends. Boyfriend graph, different graph.
Right.
Bar graph, pie graph. Histogram. I can't think of other graphs. So, a lot of graphs.
That's how, okay.
But
graphs can help us. They can be helpful.
Right.
They can be, yeah.
Maria likes a spreadsheet.
Right? That sounds dirty. All right, listen. So what was your childhood like, though, after, you know, Nancy and the whole...
So, my mom died, and as one of my brothers said... You know, we would have been sad about mom dying, but the next day there was bread and milk in the fridge. Anyway, and then Nancy came in and there was an order ruled the land.
Yes.
And then there was order. And then once I started getting friends when I was 14, it was great.
Right.
And then I went to college. And then I started doing stand-up early, like 19. I never wanted to do... We never watched stand-up when I was a kid or listened to it. We listened to motivational speakers, Zig Ziglar, and my dad's a salesman. And he would sometimes... I remember...
He's like an Arthur Miller character.
Oh, my God. Okay. He is a bit of an Arthur Miller character.
Okay.
I love him dearly, but his advice is a monkey's paw. You don't know if it's going to be the greatest thing in the world. There's usually a catch, is what I'm saying. I don't know if you've ever read that book.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
It's magical.
What are their politics? Because I know your politics. I saw you tweeted, I loathe how I'm supposed to admit her flaws, but very few who voted knob job will admit his faults, and Bernie bros are still messiahing that guy.
Well, I'm glad I made you laugh.
It did.
Yeah, Trump is a knob job, and...
Sorry, I need some water.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Listen. Mama needs... Oh, thank you.
It's happier.
Oh, no, I'll get it. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Uh-huh. And, well, I mean, by no stretch of the imagination is my father a liberal or a conservative, quite honestly. My father is like an ent where nobody's on his side. It's a Lord of the Rings joke for the four of you. And
hey, dark cast people.
Forest.
Dark forest.
And do you know Lori Kilmartin?
I know
she's
the name.
She's a writer on
I know the name. I heard she's fantastic. Let's get her on here.
You should totally get her on
here. Oh, you have a new podcast with her.
Yeah, Jackie and Lori show on Nerdist. And we just bitch about stand-up comedy. And it's really funny. But so my dad, during the election, hilariously, and I paraphrase, but this is essentially what he said about the election. He said, well, she's not hot, but she's overqualified.
That's fantastic.
I will
That's
take
what I think
that.
The best you can fucking take.
I will. I was like, I will take that all the way to the bank, Pop.
Right.
Because she can be my hero. She doesn't have to be yours.
Right.
And
No, she's my hero too.
Right.
Still with her.
Still with. Well,
go fuck yourselves, motherfuckers.
Go fuck yourselves. Is right. Because you know what she's doing right now? The same thing she's been doing for the last 60 years, which is helping women and children all over the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
well, we
fuck
have this
you.
Fucking reality show clown, fucking pathological liar, lunatic. In charge of the nuclear
President
codes.
Psycho.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
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 White Lady Meat Shield. That's what, so the first 10 minutes or 15 minutes of this album, there are political jokes that I've never done. There's six
right.
times, half a dozen times.
Isn't everyone political now?
Well, that's, I wasn't. Traditionally, I've not been a political comic.
No, most comedians aren't.
But
because you're like, I appeal to whatever, and now, everybody's fucking
because
political.
We're human.
You have to address it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. How are you going to not? It's not. It's impossible because if I don't address it, then I'm part of the problem. Is part of that problem as well.
Yeah.
So I told there's one of the tracks on that album is called Genocide. It's another cheerful.
That sounds uplifting.
There is 45 minutes of happy jokes, you guys.
Is that funnier than your mom dying in a drunk time?
The Irish goodbye joke is also on that album. So look. but it's funny, you know, you could do, in my opinion, I do the jokes that I write. So if they're too dark for you, fair enough. By the earlier stuff, I was happier. I think it was a different time, you guys.
It's a different time.
My favorite. Oh, do you know who Chad Daniels is?
No.
I'm going to be mentioning comics and how funny they are while I'm on your show.
Yeah.
Chad Daniels is a comic out of Minneapolis and, probably 10, 15 years younger than me. Anyway, but he does this joke about how his grandmother's a racist and how somebody kept saying, well, you know, she was raised in a different time and she
it was okay then.
It was raised.
People didn't judge people that owned black people.
Right.
And he said,
God.
But she's raised now, right? She's all raised up.
Yeah.
She's an adult woman, right? So we're not going to tolerate it at the grocery store. And so he lost his shit on his grandmother. And I was like, go, Chad Daniels.
Go.
Yeah. Chad Daniels is great.
Yeah. We had a great story from our associate producer, Yanira, this morning that someone just dropped the N-bomb on her on the 110 and he cut her off and she just honked and she got a middle finger and an N-word.
Jesus.
Like, this is Donald Trump's fucking America, man. Right?
Well, that's it. I mean, everyone just thinks it's okay.
It's right. Okay. It's not fucking okay.
He's made it okay to say what you want to say. And
right.
Have any...
He's just saying what everyone's thinking.
Yeah.
It's like, really? What racists are thinking.
Yeah. A bully is president. So it's.
Yeah.
Right.
I can do whatever I want. He does
right.
it.
2% of humanity are dirtbags, and 33% of the rest of humanity are willing to follow dirtbags.
Right.
So if, and now I have to, and I'm exhausted. I was hoping this thing would just be a nice sit in a gravy boat and coast till the twilight years here, but now I have to get in the way of bad behavior because it's not okay. because it's America, right? We have to
right.
speak up. And so a friend of mine is gay, and she has two kids, and her kids came home from school, and they were like, are they going to take us away? And I was like, first sign of that, you run. Do not hide. Do not. I mean, I don't have any kids. So I can be a white lady meat shield, you know? I would yeah. like a small statue. Something tasteful and
no,
slimming.
No, I'm like, are you sheltering? Yeah, I'm fucking sheltering everything. I got fucking 75 Syrian refugees in my attic. Fucking some
on the album.
Mexican people in my yeah.
The job of a decent white man is the same as it's always been for thousands of years, which is to clean out your attic so you can hide people.
And my so attic is filled with cookie butter and wine and whiskey. I feel like that's really what I need to survive.
Oh, okay. That
great.
Is nice.
This is where we are. We had to clean out our Anne Frank attics. Really? Really, motherfuckers? This is where we are?
Did
this
you
is
guys,
where we are.
Did you know that we were going to be the bad guys in World War III? I never would have called that.
Right. Mm-mm.
I've been doing that joke for...
We did not call that, motherfucker.
Nope.
We did not call that.
Been doing that joke for almost 2 years. The first time it did not get a laugh, Toronto, July 2016. And a guy in the fourth row yelled, I knew it.
Yep. Wait,
Canadians knew it.
Yeah.
Well, that is a pain in my ass because I can't face that truth right now.
Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah. This is a fucking shit show every day, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it is like we're all doing really well. Like we're launching this actually, the Resistance Tour, Saturday Night Live's doing better than ever. Stephen Colbert.
Who cares?
Maddo. But like I'm going, there's part of it that's really not fucking funny, man. Like we're doing the best we can to make this funny, but you're going, this is fucking terrifying.
Right. But, and they want us to be scared.
Right.
And I refuse. I can't do
good
that
for you.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what we.
Right.
And I'm going to chew this cracker and then
Vanessa,
get
let's
irate.
Talk amongst ourselves while sure. she's chewing that cracker because you know what? She's doing a little stress eating like Sean Spicer and that's
right.
fine.
Oh my God,
we
so
don't
much
judge
stress
anybody.
Eating.
I feel
stress
like he stress eats and he gets like his deep pants before every press conference, don't you think?
I've
That's
spent...
why the upside down flag. I think they like depants him. They took his jacket off. He's like, God damn it,
I'm going to be late. I'll just put the flag pin back on. Yeah! Was his flag pin upside down?
Yes. It was.
Yes. Of symbol of distress.
Right.
He's like, it's not distress. I'm fine. It's not
oh God,
cry
that's
for help.
So perfect. It's like such a weird, perfect, like, what right. happened?
What has happened was I.
Perfect metaphor.
Put my jacket on
what's
really
going
fast,
on right now.
And I, right. Oh my God, I think he's going to stroke out. We just watched a press conference with him trying to say, "Oh no, Trump, I don't care when anyone says he's
didn't he do
doubling down on the wiretapping."
He stands by what he claimed. Obama,
I wiretapped him. Of course he does. He stands by his pitch. What my dad did say during the election is he said, "Because I said, well, do you think he's going to win?" And my dad said, well, if he does win, he's going to have a hard time sitting with that horseshoe up his ass, because I don't know if, question.
What does that mean?
It means that he would be one lucky salesman, because he's like, that guy's a hell of a pitch man, you know? He's like, Trump is a hell of a pitch man,
right.
But he pitches to the people in front of him. He said, I like to pitch to the husband and the wife together, because they're not going to make the decision separately, but he's almost like he doesn't know he's being recorded.
Right.
That's what my dad said 8 months ago. It's almost like he doesn't know he's being recorded because he's pitching to the wife, and that's a different pitch if you're just talking to her than if you're pitching to the husband. You pitch them together, then you kind of, you put it together, and you pitch it, you make it.
Right.
And you're like, wow, Dad, first of all, the psyche that created that pitch is interesting.
Right. And second.
You're correct.
So, wait, so is he for Trump or not?
He's not for... He's certainly not for Trump. I mean, the great thing about my dad is that he is a pitch man. He could, he
gets it. He gets the con and the grift.
Yeah. Right. He gets the con. He gets the grift. He knows that, I mean, he probably looks at him and thinks, I could be president.
Right. I could be president.
Right.
Now.
Right. But
yeah.
he also,
Jesus.
But he also knows that he shouldn't be president, which is what separates him
right.
from Donald
yeah.
Trump.
Yeah.
But he sees the sale that he's putting on and he can tell right away. It sounds
right.
like.
Yeah.
He sees what the whole game is.
Right. He can totally see. He sees right. the pitch.
Right.
And he's like, I don't.
That's why I don't get that. I'm like, do these Trump voters really not get the grift yet? Did
right.
they not get the con that he's not doing
well, they
anything?
Just want the, they just want the corn canning factory to stay open. That's what they want. And
right.
Except for the 2% of banana heads who are haters. And they are like, let's somehow figure out a way to kill everybody who isn't me, and then I can get another slice of pie. And you're like, I don't even get you. There's enough pie for everyone. We'll make another fucking pie. Oh my God.
There's always more pie.
Weird analogy.
America is Aunt B, you motherfuckers. You don't need to kill anyone. There's always more pie.
Is that your soundbite? Please, America is Aunt B, you motherfuckers.
Listen, I did that for you because you're old like me and you knew the Andy Griffith reference. Yes. What?
That is awesome.
What?
Little awesome. Ronnie Howard, where are you when we need you?
Well, listen, we love you. You're going to be your family now. How do we fucking follow you? How do we get your
get here? Get with the project. Well, you can go to dorkforest.com. You can go to jackiecation.com.
Yeah.
You can. And it's at Jackie Cation is what, where everything is. And the Dork Forest is my podcast, 11 years and running.
Also, Jackie, not gay.
And Lori.
Not gay, me gay.
Right, right, right.
And I hosted Equal Time with Baby Cannon real quick for 2 years on, you know, Pat Buchanan's sister.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone said that, like, in the boxes in the beginning, you look like the comedy and tragedy masks. But also, she totally looked gay, and I totally look like not gay. And so, I'm just saying, this is the thing about stereotypes and judging people. Because she was like a fucking anti-gay, homophobe, right-wing, whatever.
Maybe she liked ladies and couldn't admit it.
Who knows? Who knows? My point is, go ahead. Continue
with my rant of everywhere to go.
Yes.
I have a new album out. It's called I Am Not the Hero of This Story. It is available on iTunes and Amazon, and CDs at the end of the month if you're of my age bracket. And then it is number 3 on Billboard this week.
Awesome.
That's
what?
Exciting.
What?
That's big.
Look
deal.
Who we scored, motherfucker. Right. I've never been on any of those lists, but it worked out this time. So thank you, nerds.
We're going to rocket you even higher.
That's it. This is going to be the bump, the Stephanie bump.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Jackie Cation, I love you.
Thank you.
Happy fucking happy hour, everybody. That's it.